Do we have somebody lined up for reading? Because I don't see Chase. Would somebody like to? I have to tell y'all, the scripture reading that was supposed to be for today got moved because of Rusty. And poor old Chase was agonizing over what was going to be the reading because it was a doozy with some really fun names. And then he got to celebrate this one. Psalm 119. Verse 9 is one that y'all are familiar with because of the song that comes from it. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. Would you all pray with me, please? Father, with our hearts, with our whole lives, every word and every act, it's our desire to lift you up, to give you glory and praise and honor. Father, you know our intent. Though we may fall short at times of what we would like to do and want to do so badly, but Father, we want to draw closer to you, to shine in this world, to show that we are your people, that you have redeemed us for your very own. So help us, Father. Teach us. Help us to grow in our trust. To learn to love as you've loved us. To purify ourselves. And to live today with the joy and hope that we have because of what Jesus has done for us. I look forward to that day, Father, that we'll be all together before your throne. For through Jesus we pray. Amen. You know, it used to be, that's an old man talking now, isn't it? More and more I find myself using old man phrases. Way, way back, before I was born, so you know I had to be way, way back. To be able to read Scripture was a challenge. You look in Acts chapter 8, and you find the Ethiopian eunuch going down that road, reading from the scroll of Isaiah. And the fact that he had in his possession a scroll of Scripture was amazing. It just showed who he was, how well off he was. Because that was not something that just normal everyday people had access to. I mean, you had to go to the synagogue where the scrolls were if you were going to read from them. You can get hundreds of years later, it's not too far from us historically, whenever in church buildings, the Bible that was present was chained to the table. Because that was the Bible that was read, you know, for anybody to be able to read, that's where it was. So how many Bibles do we own? Now, I know I'm probably a little bit of an outlier. In my office, I counted 60. 30 some odd translations. That's not counting the ones at home. That's not counting the versions I have on my computer or on my phone. None of us worry about how are we going to get a Bible. They're so easy to get nowadays. It's just there. And so when we look at that aspect of what is having God's Word, it's common for us nowadays. No trouble at all if you want to read. Now, there are things that when we talk about our faith that we know that's just seen as part of who we are. In Matthew chapter 6, when Jesus starts out saying, you know, don't do your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. And if you do, you'll have no reward from your Father in heaven. And he begins to talk about the things that, not if you do these things, he says, when? You know, when you give to help the poor, when you give, don't do it to show off. It's between you and God. When you pray, it's between you and God. You don't go out here on the street corner and pray so that everybody sees who you are and make a big show of it. When you fast, now that's another discussion sometime, isn't it? But he assumes that giving is part of our practice of faith. He assumes that praying is part of our faith. He assumes that fasting is part of our faith. And we know also that getting into God's Word is just assumed. Of course we do. We go to Scripture to find out what ought to be. When the folks in Berea, when Paul was there talking to them about Jesus, what did they do? When they heard it, they examined the Scriptures every day to see what Paul said was true. They went to Scripture. And that same aspect is true. Is we know that what we want to hear, what we want to look at is, what is it that God says about this? You know, when I get up here to talk, I don't want you to just assume, oh, Leslie knows what he's talking about. I'll find you plenty of folks who tell you there are times that I have no idea what I'm talking about. So don't just take it for my word. When we look at it, we know, what is it that the Bible says? What is it Scripture says? What is it that's there for us? And so we know also that Scripture isn't just a list of facts to look at. There's something more that's there. You know, when you pray, we're not just reciting some words. When we pray, we know God hears us. We know there's meaning there, and so it has more meaning to it, and it comes from the heart. We don't, sometimes we struggle with, I don't know what to pray, but the reality is that doesn't matter. It is just going to God with the words that you have, that there's meaning to it because of your heart, because of your intent. And in God's Word, we know that getting into Scripture isn't just a matter of learning these facts and memorizing it. There's something more there for us to grab a hold of. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. That when we open up these pages, it's to be so much more than just words, printed words on a page. That the meaning of those words get closer to us than we could have ever imagined if we allow them to come into our lives. And so what we find there when we open up these pages, we know we get to learn about God. We get to learn about what He's done all through history and what He promises to do and the promises that He's made to us all along. And on we get to find out all these things. But ultimately what we find out is that in God's Word we find what God says to us. I'm missing slides here. It becomes something essential to our lives. The reason we wanted to get into God's Word, because we know that for our faith, we know for our lives, to be able to get through day to day, we find something there to grab a hold of to help us to get through this day. So in 2 Timothy chapter 3, you know how many slides I'm skipping through. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 and 17, we read this. You know, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And when we read those, he's not saying, oh, there's something somebody can do so I can tell other people what to do. What he wants is for us to grab a hold of it so that we learn from it. It teaches us. It rebukes us. It corrects us. It trains us. Now, some of the other translations may help with those words. The NLT says, all Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we were wrong and teaches us to do what is right. You know, it gets us on the right track. Eugene Peterson in the Message says, every part of Scripture is God-breathed, and useful one way or another, showing us truth, exposing our rebellion, correcting our mistakes, training us to live God's way. Through the Word, we are put together and shaped up for the tasks God has for us. So we know when we open up Scripture that it has the potential to do some tremendous things within each of our lives. And so when we go to God, when we go to Scripture, in a sense what we're saying to God is, Lord, teach me, please. Teach me how to trust you. Teach me how to live. Teach me how to get through, you know, how to adjust my attitude. Teach me how I need to talk. Teach me how to live my life every day when it's difficult. Because things aren't easy in life. And God's Word provides us that path. I'm going to live out my faith wherever I am. I don't want to just be one who talks about my faith in those moments when it's easy to do it. I want to live it out in every part of life. Now, the thing is, as I say all that, and I'm preaching to the choir, aren't I? Do I need to convince y'all that that God's Word is something that we need to be in? Anybody think, nah, we can ignore it? If you think we can ignore it, come talk to me later. Because I think all of us would agree, without any doubt. There's nobody here that would jump up and say, we don't need to get into God's Word. We're just fine the way we are. We all know that God's Word is something we want to be in. And it seems simple enough to talk about getting into God's Word. Back over to Acts chapter 8 when we have the eunuch. Just simply, he'd gone up to Jerusalem to worship. On his way home, he was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. Reading. And just for us, we know, I want to be reading what God says. I want to have that part of my life to put it, whether it's reading it from these pages, whether it's reading it off a phone, whether it's listening to it on an audio, whatever it is, we know we need to be hearing what God has to say. And that's part of it, that we want to not just read it, we want to meditate on it. Psalm 119, verse 15, I meditate on your precepts and consider all your ways. We want to chew on it. Not just read it and go on from there, but to have it mull over it in our minds so that we can see more about it, can try to grasp some understanding. We want to study it, even memorize it. Take something that's precious to us, and bless you, that we'll memorize that scripture so that it's something where I don't have to go into the Bible and look it up, that it's right there on the tip of my tongue because I've memorized it. And so when we look at these simple things, just this ought to be easy. If it's simple for us to get into God's Word, how many of us struggle with it? How many of us are in God's Word as much as we want to be? And maybe some of us feel like we've got that where we want it to be. But I would bet there's quite a few of us would say, you know, I know I should. That's a terrible word. I know I ought to be. I know I should be in Scripture, but I'm not sure how come I just can't get it there. I know I ought to be reading God's Word more often. I know I need to be studying it. I know I need to meditate on it. I know that ought to be something. I ought to memorize that. We have memory verses for kids in classes a lot. But we never outgrow that. I know I should. But the challenge is that we struggle to get it from our intent into our practice. And we can take today talking about that idea of how we put it into practice, how we miss out. Now, in 2 Chronicles, it's interesting. We have Josiah as king, and they're having to clean up the temple because it's become a mess. They're having to make repairs. It just shows how out of practice they've gotten in doing what God wants them to do. And so as they've gathered up money so the workmen can get things straightened out and get things back into repair so they can get back into the temple and do the things that God has told them they want to do. And as they're doing that, Hilkiah the priest found the book of the law of the Lord that had been given through Moses. And Hilkiah said to Shaphan, the secretary, I have found the book of the law in the temple of the Lord. And he gave it to Shaphan. Now Shaphan takes it and he goes to the king and reads it. And Josiah goes, we're in trouble. We hadn't been doing anything God wanted us to do. We've missed out. And they start getting things back in the order that God intended. You know, and it's interesting how when we look at that, how easy for us is to know we need to be doing this. And it ends up kind of in the rubble of life. It gets caught up. And it's like, how do I get it part of my life when life is just so busy, so hectic? You know, I could give you some pointers. Did you know 4 in the morning is a great time to get up and read Scripture? Okay, I lost most of y'all there, didn't I? See, we could talk about things like that. Some of y'all saying 12 midnight is the better time before you go to bed. And we could talk about those practical steps. It said, set a time in your day where you read some of God's Word, whatever it is, practical things. If you have a commute, put it in your vehicle. We can talk about all those practical things, but underneath all those things, all those pointers, there's something more that we need, because it's not just having those habits. It's going deeper into what God has for us and wanting that, whether we have that desire, whether we have that hunger, where we have that ache, where we want that to be part of our day. Our routines came out of what we really wanted, and we put the work in to make it happen. Some of you, I don't think of it as work anymore to make a cup of coffee in the morning. I don't even have to think about it. I want that cup of coffee. I don't have to think about so many things in my life where I know this is what I want to do. And I made the work to make them part of my day. That desire to have something to push through is what really got me into those habits. And so when we talk about God's Word, it's not just saying, well, we ought to, we should. It's, what do we really want? How bad do we want it? If we feel like we need it, if there's something in my life that I ache so bad that I feel that emptiness without it, I will chase after that no matter what it takes. That if I find in God's Word something that I need, not just a want, but something I need, it'll help me find those ways to get it into my life. Whenever I know that whatever the hurts and pains in my life and the struggles I have, when I look at God's Word and go, this is what's been going to help me. I want this to be part of my life to get there. And when we have those ideas in our mind of God's Word being that way, then we start to reframe it not as, well, how many of y'all love homework when you were in school? Any of the kids, y'all love homework? Best thing ever. Do you really like homework? We're going to worry about you. Oh, no. Some do, but most of us never really liked homework. We'd rather anything but. And sometimes we've taken Scripture and we said it feels like homework as opposed to something we want. When we want to reframe it so that it becomes what it's intended to be in our lives. In Psalm 119, over and over again, when you read through all that psalm, you hear the psalmist talking about how God's Word is so much a part of their life and talking about it on and on. It says, I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your Word. You hear it? Not just, I have to do this. It's, I delight, I want this. I delight in it. Open my eyes, I may see wonderful things in your law. My soul is consumed with longing for your laws at all times. You hear that inner desire? This is what I want in my life. My soul is weary with sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. So it's not just, oh, I know I ought to be there, but I feel this ache and I want God's word to be there for me because I know there's where I find what I need. The law from your mouth is more precious to me than thousands of pieces of silver and gold. See, that treasure. My soul faints with longing for your salvation, but I have put my hope in your word. Oh, how I love your law. I meditated on it all day long. Over and over again, we get these pictures that it's more than just words that I know I'm supposed to be reading. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Now, there's where I want to be in my life. There's where, for all of us to get to that point where we look at God's Word and go, oh, this is just so precious to me. I need this. The only way I get through my day is to have God's Word in my life. And when I get there, how much easier is it for me to pick it up and want to read it, to meditate on it, to study it, to memorize it? It's there that when we talk about what's your favorite verse, the reason we have favorite verses is because those verses are meaningful to us. And I think if we're going to get to the point of having God's Word framed in this way, where we see it as a delight, as sweet, as, oh, just a treasure to us, it's because it's become so very personal to us. Now, this is an important component. When I was younger, let me tell you, when I was younger and I went to the Bible, a lot of times I went to Scripture not looking for what I could get out of it. I went looking for answers to give to other people who disagreed with me. It's a fun way to study, but I don't gain anything from it. But when it becomes personal, when I dive into it, then it's so very meaningful. It becomes so sweet that I miss it when I don't have that time to spend some time in these pages. I thought it was interesting in Romans 15:4, in chapter 14 into chapter 15, we're getting told about, hey, you know, when you have folks that disagree with you, you got the weak in faith, those who are stronger in faith, and disagreements about whether or not it's okay to eat meat sacrificed to idols, whether it's you just need to eat vegetables, whether all these things, and those whether what days are holy and what days aren't, all these things where we have different ideas. And he says, look, you treat each other right anyway. Accept one another, even when you have these differences. And so as he goes along and he's describing all of this, how, you know, God will take care of us. But he says, in the middle of all this talking about how we're to accept one another, he says, for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the Scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. New International Reader's Version says, everything that was written in the past was written to teach us. The Scriptures give us strength to go on. They cheer us up and give us hope. So there, in that little glimpse, he gives us this reminder of when we pick up God's Word, it's intended to be something that we find meaning in our lives, where I can say, I need God's Word in my life. I've got to have it, because otherwise I'm missing out on so much. Because my heart, I know how I get off track unless I have God helping me along the way in keeping my thoughts straight and keeping my life where it needs to be, helping to understand where I may have missed the point, helping me to see other people through His eyes. I open up these pages so that I can get that picture to understand that's what God has in mind. And it's amazing how we can go through and read, and then we'll, in our lifetime, we read it again and discover more in the same place. And we discover something new again in the same place. And we discover on and on and on it goes, because this is not going to ever fade away in our lives to where we can say, I already got it down. There's just so much depth and riches that can make a difference in each of our lives that once we see, that's what it's all about. I need this. And so when we have that picture, I'm going to chase after what I feel that need for. This week, I'm going to give us a challenge. Back on the back table. This is a week for all kinds of papers on the back table. But I added more to it. On the back table, if you'd like them, I have printed, it's four versions of Acts chapter 8, 26 to 40. And this week, I want to give you the challenge. Whether it's picking up this paper, or whether it's writing it down and diving into your own Bibles, whether it's on your phone, wherever it is, but to go every day to look at that, read it, meditate on it. What is it that we can learn from it in our lives, in that story about the Ethiopian eunuch? You know, what's something is next week, that's the scripture for our sermon, where we talk about his response to the message. But there's so much that goes on within that story that we go, I didn't notice that. There's something else. And the more we get into it, the more will jump out to us. But for us to have, for us to get deeper into our faith, for us to grow down and have roots that become strong, God's Word is going to be a central component to our lives and everything that goes on. Oh, so much good there. So much to make a difference in our lives. need this morning? Encouragement, prayers, to help you get where God wants you to be. We're here for each other. Or it may be that you know what God has promised us, what He's told us, and you've put off making that commitment to Him, to turn away from what was, and to be buried with Christ in baptism, to begin that new life. If you need to respond, would you come now as we stand and sing?